Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, The Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, When you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Now, on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall then be 2/10 of an epheth of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord for a soothing aroma, with its libation, 1/4 of hin of wine. Until the same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread nor roasted grain nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the first offerings, you shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Along with the bread, you shall present 7 1-year-old male lambs without defect and a bull of the herd and 2 rams. They are to be a burnt offering to the Lord with grain offering and their libations, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. You shall also offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs, 1 year old, for a sacrifice of peace offerings. The priest shall then wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering with 2 lambs before the Lord. They are to be holy to the Lord for the priest. On the same day, you should make a proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, and you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On exactly the 10th day of this 7th month is a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. Neither shall you do any work on the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is a person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on the same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls. On the 9th of the month at evening, from evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, On the 15th of this 7th month is the Feast of Booths. For 7 days to the Lord, on the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. These are the appointed times of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations to present offerings by fire to the Lord, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and libations, each day's matter on its own day. Besides, those are the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your votive and freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord on exactly the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days with a rest on the first day and rest on the 8th day. Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall thus celebrate as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate in the 7th month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the sons of Israel the appointed times of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's go through some of this stuff, okay? This is actually very, very interesting. So these are the religious festivals. There's three main festivals that take place, and it usually has, and not always, but usually has a beginning and then an end. So it usually started at the Sabbath and went all the way for a week and then ended another Sabbath. And so, and the constant reminder to the Israelites was, this is a perpetual state. In other words, this is meant to happen over and over and over again every year. God is trying to preserve Israel, and now to make it a clear point, not just to preserve them for people that they live, but also to preserve their heritage and to preserve their spirituality. And so he's saying, look, you guys need to do this. You know, at this time of the year, you need to do this. At this time of the year, you need to do this. At this time of the year. And all of them had a very, very significant reasoning. But also in that, there also is a New Testament equivalence of that. Okay? So this is not just an Old Testament reality that gets lost. So he's giving these rules. So these appointed times, and he calls them holy convocations. A convocation is a gathering. And so these would be very holy gatherings where all the people would come together and gather together. And it would be a very, part of it is, it would be a good way of saying it, it would be a solemn assembly. That you come together to recognize and be quiet before the Lord, get away from rest. And so this was really like public holidays, basically. But spiritual realities attached to that. So the first one that he gives us in the first month, and that would be in the Hebrew calendar, it would be the month of Nisan. And in the first month, this is basically between March and April, he starts off what he calls the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, late, and so part of this feast, so what happens is it goes on, so it starts with this Feast of Unleavened Bread. And remember, this was to remind them of the quickness by which they left Egypt. And so if you look at this is all connected to Egypt in this way. This is, that's why I told you last book that Exodus was so important to the people of Israel. That was the foundation and the marking point of the work of God over Israel outside of Abraham and Isaac. I mean, that's all part of this generation. But it was so important, and so we'll see this narrative of Exodus being woven through these religious convocations. So it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and what they're to do is they're to eat this, and it had to be unleavened. It was holy before the Lord, and again, it goes to the incredible haste, the quickness that they had to leave Egypt. And God makes the provision for them as they continue on. And so 7 days, they're to do this. They're in the beginning, no work at all. And then later on, he makes a note of no laborious work. And so you're still meant to do things, but not heavy labor in this way. And so part of this Feast of Unleavened Bread, is the harvest. It's what we call the first fruits. And so they would present a sheaf, of barley was the first harvest. So they would present the sheaf of barley, and they would present it to the Lord. The priest would wave, it was a wave offering, and take a very small portion of it, would give it to the Lord, burn in the fire, but he would keep most of the sheaf. And that was kind of his reward, or the way that he was able to take care of himself and the family, because he could not do that. So after that, they're to count 7 Sabbaths and 50 days, and then you had Pentecost. And in Pentecost, you basically, okay, let me go back a little bit. And so this Feast of Unleavened Bread that's laid out here is really Passover, okay? So Passover comes, first fruits. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, Paul writes about Jesus that he was the first fruits. When he was resurrected, he was the first fruits of those who have died. And so we see this happen. And then afterwards, 50 days later, we have Pentecost. And at Pentecost, what begins to happen is now this is the blessing. And so you'll see how this works, okay? Passover, the twilight happens. Remember, the angel of death passes over the Israelites, and they live. So there's the blood, okay? This is the sacrifice. The blood saves the people of Israel. So you see how this imagery goes. Then what's presented after the Passover, that day, there's the first fruits offering. At the first fruits offering is this wave offering, this sheath, and it's presented before the priests, and sacrifice happened. After that, and so Jesus is the first fruit, after that you have Pentecost. And so this is the feast of the harvest now. As a result of this, and think about this, remember before you couldn't eat unleavened bread in haste. Now he tells them that it's the new grain, new bread, and you can eat bread. And so this is akin to now the blessing of provision. Before, the haste of leaving Israel, you can't have any tasty bread, unleavened. Right? In other words, you couldn't wait for the bread to rise. You had to just do it quickly. And now you get to enjoy the bread. You get to enjoy the sacrifice. That's Pentecost. In the New Testament, it's the Holy Spirit coming and touching God's people. You get to enjoy the presence of God. You get to enjoy His gifts. You get to enjoy the bounty of it. Passover, right? Passover is grim. Thank God that the Lamb of God was killed, the blood needed to be spilled, all these things happen. He passes over, judgment passes over us, and then it leads us into Pentecost. And in the book of Acts, that's precisely Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. Before Acts 2, Pentecost was known as the Feast of Harvest. That's when we get to go. So remember the first fruits, and now the harvest has happened, and so they're reaping this harvest now. And it was a celebration of God's provision. God provided for us to be free, to be released, and now we get to enjoy this harvest. Do you see this kind of beautiful picture of the spiritual life in this way, especially New Testament living? And so it's the blessing of provision. This was usually in May or June, how this happens. And then, so he continues to give the idea. And then just notice, just pick something up at the end in verse 22. When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am the Lord your God. So look what God does. In the midst of celebration, in the midst of harvest and festival and joy and all these things, so in mixed with worship to God, There is a provision to care for the needy. Did you see that? So ingrained in piety, in other words, ingrained in our service to the Lord, our worship to God, our sacrifice to the Lord, ingrained in that was also the provision of being aware and taking care of the poor and the needy. So it wasn't a separate work. It actually was an overflow or a result of our worship. I thought that was pretty cool. Right, God had already very clearly expressed how he wants this to work and how he wants this to happen. So in a way, we take it modern day, it's a way of saying just as we worship God, I mean, just as we celebrate God, part of celebration should also be an aspect of if you think of sacrifice of praise, there should be a sacrifice of giving. And that's why when we talk about worship, worship is not just the music that we play and the songs that we sing. When we give our tithes and offerings, and you know, when you give your tithes and offering, part of that is, I mean, if the church is faithful to God and his commandments, you know, a portion of that should be to take care of the poor and the needy. And, this is what our church is doing. It's very clear. This is what our missions giving is about. Giving to the needy, to the poor, but also, I mean, materially, but also the needy spiritually in our mission endeavors to reach a lost world. And so you see, I mean, I think it's quite, I mean, you can't really say clever, but just the wisdom of God to make that connection. And so this is not an extra that Christians do, you know what I mean? It's not, okay, this is an extra thing that we do. We give to the poor and we give to the needy. No, this is part of our worship to God and how it works out. And so then he gets to the last one, and it's the Feast of Booths, and it starts with the Day of Atonement. And the scriptures here, this is in the month of Tishri. And so the scriptures here, what it talks about is in the laborious work and whatnot, in these Sabbaths, and he says, let me find this, verse 29, if there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. Now, what this meant was that on the Day of Atonement was a day of fasting before the Lord. And so when they fasted, and so how the Lord would make this work, on the Day of Atonement, God provided the sacrifice of atonement. The Israelites received and partnered with God in that sacrifice. No, they didn't add work to it, but they participated in the sacrifice by fasting, by humbling themselves. I'm going to talk about this next Sunday, okay, when we start, you know, our annual fasting series. And so it's what you do is the announcement goes forward to the people, to the congregation. A fast is proclaimed, but only those, and this is interesting, only those who participate in the fast, it says, to humble themselves, they're considered the people of God. Those that don't participate, guess what? They are not considered. They said they would be cut off from the people. Now, last year, I made note of this, and I made this simple. I said, hey, SP is fasting, right? We do this every year, and so if you're part of SP, I want you to participate in this fast, and if you don't participate, and if you're not going to, you should really question if you're part of this church. Now, some people got really mad at me, and some people left SP, actually. You know, I would say good riddance. You know, I mean, that's my apostolic nature would say good riddance. My pastoral nature would say, oh, too bad. But I'm much more apostolic than pastoral, so it's okay. In any case, but, I mean, that's basically how it works. I mean, some people got really upset. And, oh, why are you forcing me? And my response was, oh, I'm not really forcing you. This is just, we're instituting a fast. If you're a part of this church, you would just fast. It would not even be a question, you know, about it. But since you have to think about it and, you know, come to all these different kind of conclusions, maybe in your heart, this is not your church. So by all means, go find that church somewhere in your heart. And so I thought, yeah, you know, people leaving SP, I don't really consider that to be a bad thing. I mean, honestly, right? I mean, you know, go find the place where you belong. If this is not it, then surely, you know, that place is there for you. And so, but it's interesting how it makes it very clear. So God provides atonement, but we participate in that atonement by humbling ourselves by fasting. Again, I'm going to talk about this in a few weeks. And it's really amazing how this works. And then if some people say, well, P. Sam, that sounds a lot like a work mentality. No, it's not. It's not a works mentality because simply put, I'll put it in this way. God sends his son to us to die for our sins. He has eradicated sin for us once and for all. But you can only participate in it by asking him into your life. Is that work? No, it's not works, right? It's trusting God through faith. And so there's that same idea of participation. And so he died for the world. God so loved the world. He died for the whole world. This is the cosmos. He died for all those, but only those that will benefit from that sacrifice are those that participate with him by inviting Jesus into their life. Do you understand that? And so it's quite clear. Moses is not instituting a works mentality by fasting. He says this is how you can participate in what God has done for you. It's a privilege more than anything else. And then if you notice in these festivals, there is an incredibly holy day, a solemn assembly, led through a week of festivities that ends with the conclusion of sacrifice. In that same way, Day of Atonement comes, you know, what they call Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement comes, and then the next thing, you know, at the end of it, what they do is they live in tents. This is what we call booths. And basically, this is a reminder of their wandering in the desert. And so what they would do is they would get branches and you know, trees, basically. And at some point, they had to be very specific kinds of trees, and you know that actually have a fragrance, but later on it got changed to any kind of tree. You know, through the wanderers, they couldn't find certain ones. And what they simply do is they, you know, four very very primitive design, and put a sheet over it, you know, a tent over it, basically, and they're to live in that. And so if you owned a house, you did it on the flat part of your roof, and so that's where you lived. Or if you're out in the field, then you went out to the field and you lived, and basically you camped out for a week. I mean, can you imagine it? That's pretty fun if you think about that as a family. I mean, I still can't wait. I found out that there is a really awesome camping place on Lantau. It's actually right at the beach, and so I'm waiting to take my kids there for a camping trip. We won't try to go this summer, but my wife is pregnant, so no way she's sleeping on the sand, you know, for a few days. So we're going to figure it out. But they basically went camping, and it was a reminder of their wilderness journey and what's going on, and you know, not all kinds of things are part of that. But it's to remind them and to preserve them as the people of God. And it's amazing, the Hebrews, the Jews to this day, the way that they've been able to keep their culture, the way they've been able to keep their spirituality, and to keep their language. Isn't that amazing? I mean, these guys, the same alphabet that the Old Testament was written in, I mean, a present-day Jew could read in Hebrew the very same. It's quite amazing. I mean, God really blessed them in the preservation, but they were very intentional in preserving this. Now, let me just conclude. You know, there's a handful of parents here. Not too many, but a handful of parents. But it's that same blessing for us as parents to preserve our spiritual heritage to our kids and to teach them so well that they'll pass it on to their kids and their kids, you know, multi-generational. I mean, it's really important that we do this. You know, the Muslims are doing it really, really well. I just saw this thing just recently that, you know, in the UK, the female name, you know what the number one female name is? It's actually all over the world. It's Sophia. Wow, beautiful. I mean, it's been like top choice for like 3 years. In the UK, you know what the number one male name is right now? You'd be shocked. It's Muhammad. Yikes. You know, the Muslims are doing a very good job of passing it down. You know, and I mean, we should be even better. Right? I mean, really, we should be even better of laying our heritage, our faith, and our spirituality to our kids so it's reproducible to their kids and so on and so forth. For many of us, we're first-generation Christians in our families, and we get to start this, you know, heritage. I mean, you know, my parents are missionaries, but we're still first generation. I mean, we basically got saved around the same time. And so so there's something about this. I consider myself like 1.2, you know, generation. And so still first. And so, man, we get the privilege of starting this and just passing it down and so forth. So, okay, I took up way too much time. Let's pray. And let's think about, you know, this morning, man, let's just think about Christ, the blessing of Christ. He is our Day of Atonement. He is our Passover. He is all those things. But I want to make this connection in our hearts this morning. You've got all that stuff going. Yes, pain, sacrifice, blood, guilt, all that stuff, and then Pentecost. Before you met Christ, you were eating unleavened bread. Life was not tasty. After Christ, Holy Spirit is given to us, and now we get to eat bread, sweet bread, delicious bread. In other words, we get to enjoy the offspring, the result of that sacrifice. So this morning, are you eating the bread of life, or are you still eating that unleavened bread? In other words, are you still constantly guilty about your sins? He's forgiven you. Are you living in old nature or new creation? And let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we worship the Lord together. Thank you. Let's pray this morning. Let's talk to Jesus. Thank Him for His sacrifice. Thank Him for new life. We were dead in our trespasses, but we've become alive in Christ. I want to encourage you to go before Him. Examine your life and your heart. You know, are you living in the past, or are you living in the glorious future, the present, right, of His forgiveness and His love? Are we living in law or by grace? Let's just talk to the Lord about that this morning. Let's pray over our community. Let's pray over our friends and family members that are going through a serious illness or particular cancers. Let's pray for healing. Pray for their recovery. Cover the family members as well. As I mentioned the other day, it's quite stressful for the family. Let's pray that Jesus, the great physician, would come and bring healing in their bodies as well as their hearts and their emotions. Let's cover. Pray for our community that is ill, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for healing over their bodies and the acceptance of Christ in their spirit. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our community that's got non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors in their lives. Let's pray over Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray for the demonstrations as it seems like the government is now going to put an end to it. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray for the leaders that God has given to us, that they would lead righteously. Pray against the wealth gap. Pray for revival. And let's lift up the churches all over Hong Kong. Let's also pray for our friends that minister here, SSI, which is Sports Services International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters. Pray for Feed the Hungry and Christian Solidarity Worldwide and the Korean Church. Korean Church actually is having their 45th anniversary this Sunday, and so just cover them. And so let's ask God's blessing upon our city, upon those who lead this city, and those who serve this city. Let's pray. Let's pray for our missions committee. Let's ask God to bless the members, and they would be filled with His wisdom and real vision to lead our church in our mission endeavors. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our local outreach. Let's pray for our community center about 10 minutes away from here. Let's pray for the smooth running of the facilities. And this is the where the Febe worship. There's Alcoholics Anonymous classes going on there. Trying to be a blessing to the community. So let's just cover. Let's pray for Igape, for the homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom Ministry, Bridge, and Mother's Choice Ministries. Let's pray for more volunteers. God would give more of our church a heart to reach out in our communities. Bless our leaders. Let's pray for Tim and Janella as they lead these ministries and ask God's blessing and hand in their lives. Let's pray for our Friday evening activities. Let's pray for an intercessory prayer meeting tonight. Ask God to bless Matt. Let's pray for SPU as Pastor Hyunsu leads and the GIC class going on. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to direct and guide these meetings and the leaders and everyone that comes out, that they will be touched by God as they're either serving or receiving. Let's pray for a house church going on tonight. House church is McCain and Discovery Bay. Let's pray for our leaders and pray for the gathering to be filled with His presence and love for God and love for community would be the result. Lastly, for tonight, let's pray for our town hall meeting this coming Sunday. Let's pray that our congregation would gather together and celebrate His faithfulness, and as well as, you know, get updates from the church and answer to some of the questions they may be having. So let's lift up this time. Lord, we thank You this morning, God. We thank You for reminding us, Lord, the power of these festivals, God, these solemn assemblies, Lord. God, they all point to You, God. Lord, You were the Passover lamb. You were the one that was made for atonement for each one of us, God. And so we come humbly before You, God, to thank You and to live lives worthy of You this day. And so bless us, God, to be Your witness into this dying world. We thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.